أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله أوله بلا أول كان قبله وآخره بلا آخر يكون بعده الذي قصرت عن رؤيته أبصار الناظرين وأجزت عن نعته أوهام الواصفين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا حبيب الله رب العالمين ابي القاسم محمد وعلى الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين سيما بقيه الله العظم بقيه الله خير لكم ان كنتم مؤمنين ولعنه الدائم على اعدائهم وغاصبي حقوقهم ومنكري فضائلهم اجمعين من الان الى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في محكم الكتاب المجيد: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ولله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوا بها، صدق الله العلي العظيم. In the continuation of the discussions to realize the chemistry that existed among the companions of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam in the plains of Karbala, which we call that as brotherhood amongst each other. Tonight is our fifth session. After establishing the existence of a higher reality, a reality that is inward, a reality which we call it that interior reality, the batin, and at the same time you have that exterior reality which we call it Zahir. On the basis of intellect, philosophy, and even common sense, which we said there are two types of existence. One is which is Zahir, and one is with the mental one. The existence of understanding, which is right at this present going on, have a reality in itself. The relationship of two brothers sitting next to each other, and if something happens, I will protect my brother or the child if he's going to do something, that's a reality that is existing. That's why it's affecting me and it's pushing me to do something. After all of that, we come to the understanding that as this reality exists and the possibility of entering and understanding this reality, which we call it phenomena, and then brotherhood, and then Karbala. That's the topic, right? What is the methodology? How can we reach the possibility for a lay person like you and me exist or not? We establish that the best form of knowledge, the best way to reach that truth, that reality, is nothing but through our self-knowledge, through our own self, meaning that knowing the self. And we recited many hadiths which supports the argument that the best form of knowledge is knowing our own soul, is knowing our own self. Why is that? The reason, because there are two types of knowing. One is the knowing which is of ashya, which are the things around us, and the other is knowing of our own self. So you want to, in the terminological sense, they call it the macrocosm and the microcosm. You know, macrocosm, such as, you know, which is around us, the universe and all that, which the Quran also have asked us to contemplate so that we come to the realization of God. And then knowing the self, which we are saying that knowing, you know, man arafa nafsa faqad arafa rabbah, a person who knows his soul, he will know his Lord. So there's two knowledge, two types of knowledge, two forms of it. The ultimate goal is really Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the ultimate goal. You know, even if I'm increasing my knowledge of ashya, of the things that are around me, the purpose of that is that I reach God. And at the same time, when I want to know my nafs, the purpose of that is that I should know God. So now we got to look at it, which one would be of a greater value so that we embark upon that. That's how intelligent people think, which one is the best way to get there, right? So when we start examining, and we will come together to the conclusion of it, that the knowledge of the self is a greater form of knowledge. See, when we look at the reality, the tangible reality, you know, that is around us, whether that be the knowledge of the law, you know, ahkam, the knowledge of the Quran, the exegesis, or what they have talked about, the verses, so on and so forth, the exegesis, you know, the tafasir and all that. Then the knowledge as the natural law and the things that exist outside, a person sort of embark, wants to know. For all of these things, he has to come to the realization of the essence of things, right, which are around him. And when we are saying that he has to come to the realization of the essence of things, is that that is nothing but God himself, right? Because that is the purpose of all of these knowledge, all of these sciences, right? The sciences of ahkam is for what? So that I fulfill the command of God, I worship. You know, it's eventually, you know, it's going in that direction. The Quran, the same, right? Or the things that are around me is the same, right? So it's really pointing out to something very common in this multiplicity. And which is very easy for me to get deviated into these multiple things. For example, if I see someone coming from very far, it's very far, then I say that, okay, this is that a motorbike or is that a car? So I say, maybe it's a motorbike. So it's very small, I cannot really, you know, figure it out what it is. Then it comes a bit near, then I say, no, it's not really a motorbike. It looks like a car. Or what color is it? You know, so as it comes closer and closer, the shape and the form and my description of what it is continuously changing. But there's something, one reality that remains the same, right from the very beginning. And that reality is the reality of existence. That there is a wujud, that there is an existence, that is coming. But however, the outward realities, the outward form of it, that is always changing. But what remains is that the essential quality of that thing, whatever is approaching me. And that is nothing but that existence itself. That is nothing but that the wujud itself, right? So now, having said that, when I am embarking in knowing the universe, I will come to the understanding, oh, okay, it is that wujud, it is that existence which is real. Then in terms of ahkam, in terms of many different things, I will busy myself coming to the same conclusion after immense and, in, you know, long sort of process through which I have to go through to realization of that. But something that is very near, that is me. Instead of going 10 different places, it's me. Let's look at my own soul first. And as a matter of fact, the complexity of this one thing is so much that we do not find the same complexity in the things that I'm investigating in order to find God. I have to see 10 things, I have to investigate 10 things to come to that realization. But here, this in one thing, I have all of these complexity within me. that I come to the realization of God. So, I mean, this is a very sort of basic, common understanding that regardless of all of those hadiths that we have, that a man will come to this understanding that indeed, yes, if I don't really know myself, who am I? I mean, the very first thing itself, right, before any other thing, is the realization of my own self, that I do exist. Maybe the, you know, all of these things could be, you know, not real as such, could be mirage, could be something, but first of all, me as something that, you know, I might forget the glasses which is on my nose, but I cannot forget myself. So when I am mawjood, when I am existing, in the same fashion God is existing as well. That's how it begins. You know, I cannot deny existence. I cannot deny the presence. So that is why it has been mentioned that knowing of our own soul, of our own self, then he starts to, obviously that's a journey in itself, he starts to investigate. Many people have criticized that this knowing of the self is a methodology of the ascetics, which was practiced in Christianity, and Islam shuns that one sort of retrieve oneself into, you know, different exercises, spiritual exercises, you know, leaving the pleasure of the world, so on and so forth, which is not prescribed in the law. But it is not the case. The way the methodology described, given by our scholars who were mujtahideen, and they emphasized that this methodology of the knowing of the self is based on the Quran and Sunnah. It's not something that came from outside. And they, beautifully, they have mentioned that to embark upon the methodology or the ways of knowing the self through these ascetic practices is much easier than practicing upon the Quran and Sunnah, which is the right way and knowing of the self. So, two things I have mentioned here. One is that people think that if someone is prescribed to these ascetic practices to know the self, right? They say this is the way. So one have to really give difficulties to the nafs so that it can grow, so that it can riyaziyat, so that it can become strong. But that is much easier. That is easier than practicing deen, than practicing on the ahkam ashar, than practicing on the sunnah and the Quran. So people tend to reject people tend to accept by saying that, you know, ahkam and Quran, practicing on ahkam ashari and Quran on religious law, it's an easy thing. So let's do something, you know, very important in order to know our soul, in order to know our nafs, in order to be spiritual. Let's do something which is more grave so that we can give pain to ourselves, and then we come to the realization of the haqiqat and the truth. But the real people of the path, they say that is much easier to do than acting upon the ahkam of ilahi. Which is, this means, what does this telling us? This means that a person who wants to know his self, he has to be very much dedicated to the ahkam, to the sharia. That's what it's pointing in that direction, to the Quran. And on this very fact, we tend to find the very famous hadith, and we all know that, فَذَكِّرِ النَّفَاتِ الذِّكْرَ, a repetition of it. You know, the worshippers are of three type. The one who worship in order that they achieve paradise, the one who worship out of the fear, and the one who worship out of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Imam describes in detail, you know, this is the worship of the slaves, this is the worship of the merchants, and this is the worship of those people who have the knowledge, the true knowledge and marifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of love. So a person who is of the path, as he is not attached to anything, because he knows that this attachment, as we've been, you know, mentioning for the past 4 nights, that I have to go far from this materiality, from this madda, to the, come to the realization of that immaterial things that is existing. I have to come out of this, you know, physical realm in order to see that reality. I mean, to begin with, you know, with the example that we gave, the brotherhood, that's our topic, right? You know, the brotherhood that is existing between me and you, the love that is existing between me and you, it is not that physical, that you look beautiful or you look something, that is why I'm liking you. Or the example that we gave of ownership, I'm the owner of this. So for me to really see there is something called ownership in that immaterial realm, I have to really have to come out of it. I have to really focus. Not that this I'm the owner, but I have to focus on that spiritual law that is existing, or immaterial law that is existing. And how powerful that law is, that no one can snatch this away from me. So as in first step, we know that we really have to go far from this madda, from this material, in order to really come to the realization of God. That means that even if that is Jannah, I have to go far from that. Even if that is hellfire, I have to go far from that. That I am not doing it so that I be saved. I am doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's really pure, it's for that sake. It's really to know God, that's why I'm doing it. Not that I get something, not that I achieve something. Then obviously that is not really knowing the divine reality. And even if I have the intention that I am doing this in order to I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more, so that I get some sort of spiritual station that I achieve or maqam that I see, once again I'm trapped by it. Allama in Risale-Wilaya mentions that you have to know the path, but you should not forget the goal. If you know the path, if you forget the goal and just be attracted to the path that you are on, you will be misled. So if I just get stuck with the religious law as such, that is ahkam, that this is it, and I forget the purpose of it, then I will be lost. And people are in this category are on different levels. The extreme of them is the khawarij that we have seen. Just the outward sort of, they pay attention to the law, la hukma illa lillah, you know. And then there are levels of it. So therefore, this hadith itself, which is categorizing the three levels, is pointing out to that. And that aspect of love, to know thy Lord, is of value, and one excels on that. And when one have that love, that is the quality of those who are sincerely, which we call it, you know, mukhlaseen on a higher level, then mukhlaseen on a lower level. I had mentioned this in another of my session, but those brothers who are here, I will repeat that. So what we are trying to say is that love without any expectation. And that is the action that we are doing, the ahkam that we are practicing is the actions of those who are the sincere one, mukhlas, the righteous one. To the extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have said that they are the one. Why? It's a very important thing here if you pay attention to. See, we said these are the actions of the mukhlaseen, the sincere ones. You know, they are doing it just for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not because God is qahhar, but for the love of Allah. So as they are doing it, not because God is qahhar, subhanallah, amma yusifun, illa ibadallah mukhlasun. As they are doing it only for Allah and Allah, then they are able to describe what Allah is. But if we are doing it for the sake of qahariyat, then they are doing it for the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but not for the zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that means that as the sixth imam have said, another hadith which I will mention after seven, hadith of seven imam, as the sixth imam have said, the way to know Allah is through Allah himself, not through the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the way to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, not for the fear or not for the desire. Then if I am heading in that direction, if that is my highway, that is my path, that is my journey, then I become that mukhlas. Then I will be able to depict or describe how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So I'm not moving in the direction by understanding or having the knowledge of the awsaf, or of, to begin with, of the law, or of the awsaf, or the attributes. But it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. That is my purpose. That is my direction. So as I'm going with that purpose, in that direction, then I will be able to describe. Because that halat, that state, is really the state of pure tajarrud, or pure immateriality that a person reaches. As the seventh imam have said, now the seventh hadith from the seventh imam, he said, the greatest hijab between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is yourself. So between me and my Allah, the hijab is myself. If I take this self out, whether this self be Jannat I want to go, whether this self be Ahkam-e-Shari'at that I want to implement, whether this self be I'm afraid and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's why I'm doing this. Whether this self be, wow, it's so beautiful to read the tafsir of this scholar and I come to the great understanding of that. But it is that sincerity and khulus that has to be there. Yes, Ayatullah Bahjat. How can one become mukhlaseen, the righteous one, which we said, you know, those who are for that direction and reach that maqam and the ecstasy and joy that they have, we'll look at it from another book of Allama. He says that in order to become a mukhlas, which by definition means that mukhlaseen with the fatte lam on the with the fatte lam, are those who are righteous one purified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Which is innama yuridu Allah li yudhiba anhum ar-rijs ahla al-bayt wa yutahhirahum tathira. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Purified by them. So they asked Aga that how can you become a mukhlas, that righteous one that Allah will purify. Then he pondered a bit, then he gave a thought, and then he smiled, and he said, you know, in order to become mukhlas, bayad amal mukhlasin ra bayad anjam bedahat. That he should act like how mukhlasin act. Mukhlasin are those who are striving and struggling to be righteous. So when he is continuously struggling and striving to become good, eventually Allah will take that. Allah will basically seize him and make him mukhlas. Now, one thing that we want to pay attention to here is that even this act of mukhlas that he is acting, that he is performing, is also the act of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. It is because of himself. And when he joins this little acts of ikhlas, sincerity, from his side, one next to each other, in that, for example, for the youngsters to pay attention to, I enter this room, I did namaz, you know, I give salams, I give, you know, these acts are taking place in a given time, in a given space. You know, one after the other, I'm doing it, and every time I'm doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when I add all of this, so this one whole hour was an hour of sincerity of me. So this one whole hour, as it was an hour of sincerity of me, it was nothing but the implementation of that divine will. And eventually this will bring about that revolution and change. And then that person, if he continues to carry that out, then he ceased, or then he is basically given that position of a person who is purified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. This could be understood once again from that very hadith of Qurbun Nawafil. We just pointed out to that when a person, you know, performs Nawafil, he will come closer to me, then I will become his hand, I will become his ear, I will become his eye, you know, all of that. It's pointing into that direction. We have to put all of these hadiths next to each other to really understand that. So as it begins with that self, knowing of the self. So therefore, I want to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this detachment from whatever that I like and I love. I like to, for example, you know, have good meal, but fasting is something that gives us, that helps us. That's a methodology. Will not allow me to do so. That I cannot eat. Why? To implement the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prayers, waking up at night, all of these things are nothing but taking a step away from the soul and trying to see the truth and reality of God in me. So when I continuously practice that, a person reaches to the state of pure immateriality. Obviously, it comes with different halat and ahwalat. Now, another thing that is happening, one hadith of the sixth imam, and then I will quote from what will happen in regards to the tajarrud after that. Help me with this, salat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. I had seen this hadith in Mizan al-Hikmah earlier in the Bab of Marifah. However, this book, which I have with me, is in Persian, it's not in Arabic, otherwise I would have read the hadith and quoted that hadith of the sixth imam. But regardless, the purpose is to achieve what the hadith is trying to say. It's describing the marifah, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing, right? That's what we are talking about, right? So here it says, in regards to the greatness, in regards to the fazilat of marifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, agar مردم میدانستن آن چرا که در فضیلت معرفت الله هست. If the men knew that what is in the fazilat of معرفت of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, هرگز چشمانشان را به آنچه که دشمنان بدان از خوشحالی دنیا و نعمتهای آن بهرمندن میگشودن. That means that if people knew what is in that معرفت of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will care less in regards to what ni'mat, in regards to what they have in their hand, who they are and what they are, the glitters of the world. If they knew what is the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this glitter is like that same thing, oh it's a horse, oh no it's a motorcycle, oh it's a car, that's the glitter. But these people who have that, they are not looking at the essence of it, the real and true wujud of it, but they are just looking at the outward aspect of it and thinking that this is what it is, not paying attention to the interior, the inner aspect of it. So therefore it is like that. So they are just, you know, they are busying themselves in terms of the glitters of the world. So if the imam is saying, if people knew that what is in the knowledge, what is in knowing God, then they will have no value for what people have. Dunya onha dar nazdeshun kamtarin cheezi jalve mi kard. It will be that the world will be seem to be very little for them, those who knew the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Az anche ke dushmanan be pahayeshun raft o amad mikunan,
و هر آینه به معرفت الله تعالی متنعم می شدن و بدان لذت تلذذ می بردن. همانان تلذذ کسی که دائما در باغهای بهشت به اولیاء الله به سر می برد. So therefore what he's saying, they will regard the world as very little, and on the other hand, they would be having a great joy and pleasure, and the joy and pleasure like how the awliya, how the saints are having in Jannah already while being here, because they are focusing upon the inner aspect. They know the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what. So then it's long, the hadith continues and it talks about, you know, this knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes, you know, it becomes the source of relief and retreat in any wahshat, in any sort of fear. If they have the ma'rifat, they will fall on that. They will have no fear, so to speak, because they have seen that inner aspect and the truth of it. So once this outward glittering disappears, because they are not after it, but they are after that wujud. So therefore it's trying to point out to that the more a person goes far away from this outer world, focuses on that interior aspect of it, then he is going in the direction of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is basically, in order to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has to go from this zahiri, this outward aspect of the world, and focus on that inner aspect. And the best that begins with is, once again, what we have said, is that nafs. And which I wanted to quote from that tajarrud. So as he embarks on this path, then he would have these constant emanations from the things that are around him. Things will speak to him. He will have this constant emanation of light. Aghai Qazi, this is from this book of Allama Risale Lubbul Lubab, mentions that Aghai Qazi was the teacher of Allama Tabatabai. روزی از اتاق بیرون آمدم، در دالان خانه دیدم که خودم در کنار ساکت و صامت ایستادم. I came out of my room and I stood next to me and I saw myself. با دقت تمام ترا به صورت خود نگاه کردم. Then I saw myself in great detail, sort of. And دیدم در صورت خالی دارم. Then I saw that I have a mole on my face. چون به اتاق آمدم و در آینه نظر انداختم، دیدم که در صورت من خالی بود. من تاکنون آن را ندیده بودم. Then I came back to my room and I saw myself in the mirror. Then I noticed that yes, there is a mole that I never have noticed that before. So meaning that he came out of his body and he saw himself next, standing next to himself. And when he saw himself, he saw the mole. And then he was like, really? Then he went inside his room and he saw in the mirror, they said, oh yes, there is a mole here. This is really coming out, this is really going far away from that soul, from that nafs. This sort of activity or this reaction automatically start taking place for a person. And now remembering that this is not the station, this is not the purpose, this is not the goal. One just continues on it. Mulla Quli Hamidani, whose name we took yesterday, was a teacher of Malik Aghai Jawad Tabrizi, the Ustad of Imam Khomeini. Mulla Quli Hamidani gives his student to Aghai Tabrizi, mentioning that, you know, you take care of him in the journey, in Irfan. And he's a very good student. And then they went to the house of Ustad later on, you know, to cut the long story short. Mulla Quli pointed out to, in regards to tajarrud of the nafs, coming out of the soul. Because, you know, once we come out of this reality, like we said, eyes is not for seeing. This eyes is really blinding us to see the truth. So we have to come out of this eyes to see what is real.
That is why when a person dies, he sees the reality, the haqiqat. So therefore here, Mulla Quli points out his finger and takes out the nafs of his, or of the student. And he said, this is how simple it is. This is how it is to really tajarrud, to come out of the soul. So this is pointing in the direction that this is not the purpose and this is not the goal. The real and true purpose is that knowing and really traveling towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this sort of truth and realization have occurred in the ashab of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So now when we are discussing the phenomena of brotherhood in Karbala is that As-salamu alayka ya awliya, as-salamu alaykum ya awliya Allahi wa ahibbahu. They were awliya. Burair, on the ninth night, he was kidding. He was playing jokes with his mates. And then the mate said that this night and these jokes, then he says that my tribe, my people know that I don't kid around. But I know that tomorrow is the day that I will become shaheed. Tomorrow is the day that I will be released. And other ashab who said, we saw our maqam in Jannah, what it is. You know, the khutbah of muttaqeen. Muttaqeen are those people who, when as if they are living in Jannah. These are the muttaqeen. They are already in Jannah. And there's a verse in the Quran, inshallah, we'll look at it tomorrow, if Allah gives us tawfiq, that Allah will give the mu'mineen and mu'minat the hayatun tayyaba. Not this hayatun tayyaba is something that it will come in the hereafter. No. The hayatun tayyaba will be given here in this world. So they will be having the joy of the Jannah. They will be seeing the divine while being here. Ayatollah Saadat Parwar, who is known as Ayatollah Pahlawani, Ustad of, you know, student of Allama Tabatabai, he mentions that at nights I cannot go to sleep. He used to sleep little, and my classmate was a doctor of him, and he asked, Ajaga, you need to rest, you need to sleep. And he said that I cannot sleep because I could hear the tasbihat and the sounds of Jannah so much, it doesn't allow me to go to sleep. It just happens. And this body is weak. And that's where one have to leave this body in order to enter that realm. So the ashab of Imam Hussein, they have reached that maqam and that level. Even if they haven't reached, Imam Hussein, he himself took them and showed them, you know, O Shaheed, you will fall here, but this is your maqam in Jannah, see. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam did that. It was through Imam Hussein alayhi salam to really take them onto that level. Pointing out to the aspect of the imamat, of the guide. An imam is the one who takes you. He doesn't really show you that is the goal, but the imam takes you and makes you reach the goal. That's what shafa'at is. The philosophy of shafa'at. It makes sure that you reach the goal and the purpose. Whether they were little ones, like On and Muhammad, the little two sons of Hazrat Zainab salamullah alayha, who's been reported that when she was married to Abdullah and was leaving, and the mahar was, as the scholars have said, that it was that whenever Imam Hussein will go, she will go with the brother. And the time came, the mahr was given, Hazrat Zainab leaves with Imam Hussein alayhi salam to Karbala, and Abdullah himself brings On and Muhammad, the two little ones, for whom it has been said that when they were prepared for the battle, they were tied the sword on their back, and while they were going to the camp of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam, the sword edge was dragging onto the ground. That's how little they were. that the sword was touching the ground when it was tied to their back. When both of them came to the uncle and they said that our mother have prepared us and wants us to go in the battlefield, Imam Hussein addressed to Hazrat Zainab and says that maybe Abdullah will be unhappy if they go and they become shaheed. Then here Hazrat Zainab says that it was Abdullah himself who gave these two little ones, that when the time comes, you should send them before Imam Hussein alayhi salam to the battleground to protect the life of Imam Hussein. And as they went into the battlefield, Umar Sa'd, looking at these two little ones, he says to his soldiers that what type of love Zainab have for Hussein, that she is prepared to sacrifice these two pure souls. It's been reported that these two children, these two little ones, fought so furiously that Umar Sa'd was yelling that what, vow unto you, all soldiers, what is up to you that you cannot defeat these two little children? And here they replied that they are the sons of Ja'far al-Tayyar, as they were, Abdullah was the son of Hazrat Ja'far al-Tayyar. What do you expect? We need more forces, we need more backup to defeat them. And as they surrounded these two ones, and a blow was given onto the head of Muhammad and he falls from the mount, and Hazrat Ibrahim also gets down and places the head of Muhammad in his lap. And as he was busy and he was attacked once again, and as Ibrahim was being taken care by Muhammad, another attack, another blow was given to Ibrahim, and eventually that time occurs that both of them fall onto the ground. And Aba Abdullah al-Hussein comes to the aid. One unique thing that we see at the Shahadat of On and Muhammad is that when their bodies were brought near the tents, the women of Bani Hashim started to wail and lament. They came out to pay dues, to pay tributes, to pay respect to the body of On and Muhammad. But Zainab wasn't seen on the body of On and Muhammad. Zainab wasn't seen on the body of her own sons. Perhaps they have said that she doesn't want to show the sorrow feeling, the sadness upon the death of her own children, and this could become the reason for Imam Hussein alayhi salam to think that he was the reason for the shahadat of these two little ones. For the resolve of Imam Hussein, she didn't come out. But it's been reported that when she returns back, when she goes back to Medina, after the whole massacre of Karbala, and as soon as she opens her house, and she goes inside that house, and she throws herself onto the ground, and this was the time that she lamented by herself on and Muhammad. La lanatullah la qawm al-zalimeen sayalamun ladheena zalamu ayyamun qalibin yanqalibun.
Ya Allah, bihaqq Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, bihaqq Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, bihaqq